May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Augustine, the bishop and theologian from the 4th century, is said to have had a vision at one point in his life. It's now on a painting that I saw on display at the National Gallery in London. And in it, in this painting, in that vision, St. Augustine saw a small child sitting on the seashore, holding a spoon in his hand. The child was trying to spoon the sea into a small hole he had dug in the sand. St. Augustine turned to the child and told him the obvious. It doesn't look like you're going to get very far in your endeavor. To which the child responded, "You'll have just as much luck trying to solve the mystery of the Trinity." So much for that. St. Augustine went on to write a small treatise on the doctrine of the Trinity, but at the very least, it seems to me as though he may have been humble about it. And yet, in spite of that challenge, today, as in every year, we observe Trinity Sunday, a day in which we remember and try to articulate our faith in a God who reveals God's self in human history as Father, as Son, and as Holy Spirit. In the Christian story, this is the very God who creates the world and all that is in it, God, the parent of all that is, the God who in the beginning made the heavens and the earth. And this is also the God who comes to us in human flesh, in Jesus, speaking a word of life in parched places, coming in the form of a human being in Palestine. And this is also the very God whose presence we celebrate in Pentecost, the loving and life-giving Spirit in our midst. The story is difficult to believe sometimes. And I don't mean simply because of how the math plays out, the whole 1 and 3 and 3 and 1. I mean that it's difficult to believe because we don't often have the clearest sense of God's presence in our day-to-day lives, God's presence with and among us. After the fanfare of Easter and Pentecost, we each step into ordinary time. We remember the difficulties of day-to-day life, the issues present all around us, and it is hard to believe that God is actually present and involved sometimes. It's hard to believe in a God that loves us like a parent, comes to us as a friend and brother, and stays with us through the darkest of nights. It's hard sometimes to believe in God when what we notice most often is God's absence. The story of creation in these moments just seems somewhat outlandish. It seems all too optimistic about the order of the world. Stepping into the creation story is to believe in a God who is there from the beginning, orchestrating events that bring order out of chaos, light out of darkness, abundance out of nothing. The creation stories, both the one we heard today and the one that follows it in the second chapter of Genesis in the Garden of Eden, they speak of a world that seems awfully foreign to us, especially in moments of crisis, a world where God is ever present and lovingly vigilant, a world where God's intention manifests themselves as if by incantation. And there was evening and there was morning, each and every day, and God called each and every day good. It is a story of things in their right place, structured and geared toward the flourishing of all of creation. Yes, it is hard for us to believe the story sometimes. Hard for us to believe in a God that is loving and present in the midst of it all. In these moments, it's important for us to remember that this story found its way to us today through the experience of a people familiar with the feeling of God's absence, a people born of slavery, struggle, and exile, a people who, as they sat by the rivers of Babylon and wept, as that other psalm says, remembered that there was a God who made the world out of nothing and who had imprinted God's image and blessing not just on emperors and kings, but in every single human being. To recite these stories, to remember these stories, is not simply an act of optimism. It is an act of faith, despite evidence to the contrary. It is an act of extraordinary belief, a belief in a God who is present in spite and in the face of struggle, a God who is just as present here and now as God was in the days of our ancestors, just as present in the Holy Land as right here in Cary, just as present and available in the pulpit as in the pew, just as present in your life as in mine. Yes, it is an odd story to believe in a God that creates out of nothing, a God who gets involved in human history from beginning to end. And yet that is exactly what we gather around each Sunday, what we proclaim in our faith to a broken world. We believe in God, a God who, from the beginning of time, invites us into communion because that God is communion incarnate, a divine dance of three. Now, many of you know that I spent the past few weeks traveling, first in the Holy Land in Palestine, and then in England. And though the Holy Land is remarkable, and there are many moments that I'd like to share with you, and I'm sure you'll hear about them in the weeks and months and years to come, what is on my mind today was my last Sunday in England, in London, the Feast of Pentecost, which I celebrated with the people at St. Martin's in the Fields, a church right in the heart of London, not too far from London Bridge, where an attack on innocent civilians had taken place just the night before. And what impressed me in that service was not the beautiful music, though there was plenty of that, nor the testimonies of people as they shared about their experience of the Spirit's presence in their life that took the place of a sermon, though those were moving too. But what struck me was that in the wake of violence, in the face of unthinkable, blatant attacks on joy, the church still gathered to celebrate its birthday. And at coffee hour, a group of visitors from South Africa struck up a song, and I looked at a couple Brits who clearly did not know how to dance, and they danced. They danced to that tune, and they laughed. In the wake of violence, the church still sings song of God's enduring presence. In the face of violence, the church mourns with the downtrodden and provides the only word of hope that we have available to us, the presence of a loving, living, liberating God, manifest through the communion of the saints from all places that walk among us. Some of the early church fathers had a term, an image for what it was like to describe the existence of the triune God. It's perichoresis, it's a Greek word, which means the co-indwelling of the divine life, a divine dance of sorts, rooted in the love, in the communion present in God. And it is to such a dance that we are invited. And I do hope that on this Trinity Sunday, that you'll join. Amen.